Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, sponsored today by Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your coupon code. We'll tell you more about that $50 deal later in the program. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today. I guess, Jim, I don't even know how we classify these things anymore. This campaign is such a jumble, but let's start with your lead item in the Morning Jolt. I like to call this WikiLeaks revelation number one from Tuesday. And you lead off by saying, why should anyone think that a Hillary Clinton administration would operate any differently from Hillary Clinton's State Department? And then you link to one of the stories that have covered yesterday's revelations. In a series of candid email exchanges with top Clinton Foundation officials during the hours after the massive 2010 Haiti earthquake, a senior aide to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton repeatedly gave special attention to those identified by the abbreviations FOB, which means Friends of Bill Clinton, or WJC VIPs, William Jefferson Clinton VIPs. Need you to flag when people are friends of WJC, wrote Caitlin Klavorek, then a senior State Department official who was juggling incoming offers of assistance being funneled to the State Department by the Clinton Foundation. Most I can probably ID, but not all. And then in another one, she says, is this a FOB? If not, she should go, and she gives a website to where this person should go otherwise, because apparently only Clinton friends and donors are welcome. This, of course, runs contrary to everything the Clintons have said, including, as you point out, Bill Clinton just last month on CBS News This Morning with Charlie Rose. Nothing was ever done for anybody because they were contributors to the foundation. Nothing. Jim, why would people contribute a lot of money if they're not going to get anything out of it? And it's pretty clear that the Clintons did exactly that.
Out of the goodness of their hearts, Greg. Because they just want to help people, and they have no interest whatsoever in any of those big contracts to rebuild Haiti. No interest at all. It's interesting, you're not going to hear a lot of spin of like, well, look, nobody can prove that we gave particular contracts, or if we gave them the contracts, it was totally coincidental. Nobody can prove we gave them the contracts just because they're friends of Bill. Isn't it natural that, oh, everybody would be interested in Haiti at the same time? It's just perfectly, just happened to be that, you know, the contracts went to people who were marked friends of Bill. Come on. Come on. Right? I mean, this is the State Department. It's not supposed to be sitting around worrying about who's friends with Bill and who's on the Bill Clinton VIP list, another term that they used over there. It's not supposed to be doing polling in Haiti about Bill Clinton's reputation or things like that. The lines between the Clinton Foundation and State Department really got blurred, and the ability to get favors by making a big generous donation to the Clinton Foundation, lo and behold, the State Department was suddenly more receptive, and you got more meetings, and all of a sudden you had a more sympathetic ear. Who could have foreseen that? I hope the Trump campaign goes to town on this. I hope they bring it up early and often. I hope they explain it. Instead of just saying, oh, they're a bunch of crooks or something like that. I mean, here we have the memos. Here we actually have this. You have to say, in a debate, he made a reference of she didn't know what C meant without actually explaining what C meant in the debate, Greg.
Yeah, it's true.
But I'm sure there were some viewers at home who were like, C is for cookie. if you want to mock her for what it means, I believe it was confidential, not classified, is what the C actually meant. You should say that, and you should claim it's unbelievable that she would not know that the C in those memos meant confidential and so on. In this case, this is a pretty damning example of the State Department giving special treatment and things that ended up controlling money to Clinton Foundation donors and people who are considered friends of Bill. And this is the closest you're probably going to find to a smoking gun. This should be a really bad day for the Hillary Clinton campaign. But to really maximize his chances, Trump has to really, discuss it in detail and really press the case like a prosecutor. We will see if he does this, but the opportunity is there.
Quick aside, one of the other major revelations, and there are actually multiple revelations, is not just that the media favors Hillary Clinton, which was pretty obvious, and they've been anti-Trump, clearly, during this general election campaign, but to the extent that there's been actual collaboration in some cases, the most egregious, which she denies, but Donna Brazile, a CNN contributor, passing along a town hall question of the Clinton campaign ahead of a town hall back during the primary season, and it was a question that Hillary did get on the death penalty at that time. You've got the New York Times giving veto proof over quotes from an interview that one of their reporters did with Hillary back in 2015. You've got John Harwood, who moderated a CNBC debate, the worst debate of them all, I might add, warning them about Ben Carson potentially being trouble for Hillary Clinton, the head of Univision. It goes on and on. big surprise or should have known all this?
I was going to say, undoubtedly, this is worth us mentioning in this martini, Greg, but amongst all of our listeners, raise your hands if you're surprised to see reporters being very clubby with the Clinton camp. Okay. I don't see anybody raising their hands, Greg. Now, some of that is because this is a podcast. We have no visual ability to see our audience, but I'm pretty sure there are very few listeners who are that surprised by it. Still, it's worth mentioning, and it's fair to point out that, like, look, if the media wonders why they have very low approval ratings, very low trust, very low faith in their reporting, no faith in their objectivity, not just objectivity, lack of objectivity, but a argument of whether there's a sense of whether they can be trusted to report the story fairly. You don't have to be objective to be fair. My sneaking suspicion is that most people don't think of that. They are, and, you know, friendly, you know, ha ha ha, you know, buddy, buddy, you know, exchanges like this only add to that perception.
All right, on to the second martini. This is definitely bad for Republicans and many conservatives. And that is where we stand less than 4 weeks from Election Day now. We know that many conservatives are banging their head against the desk over the presidential race. There's some pretty short fingernails on the Republican side when it comes to whether or not the party can maintain control of the Senate, although that's probably looking a little bit better than some people had feared at this point, but it's still going to be tight. One of the things that was supposed to be pretty safe, and perhaps still is Republican control of the House of Representatives. But another polling trend should give Republicans some cause for worry here. The new Real Clear Politics rolling average of the generic congressional vote. So they don't ask you about your actual race. They ask you about, you know, voting for Congress. Are you going to vote for a Democrat or Republican? The average now is up to one of the widest margins that it has been. It's at 45.2 for Democrats, 40.8 for Republicans. That's a 4.4% margin. Late August was the biggest gap at about 5 points. Mid-September was one of the narrowest points. It was about 1.3. But interestingly, Jim, this gap has gotten a couple of points wider pretty quickly here, and you have to wonder whether it's part of the Access Hollywood tape on Trump and so forth. A couple of the most recent polls on that, NBC News, Wall Street Journal has Democrats plus 6 on the generic vote, 48-42. Reuters Ipsos has a 10-point gap, and they did interview almost 2,400 people, but it's adults, not registered or even likely voters. So obviously people don't vote for generic people on the ballot. They vote for actual people, and Republicans have done a pretty good job with redistricting in the last decade or so. So what do you make of this?
Well, I went back and I looked because we'd say from the perspective of most Republicans, 2012 was a really disappointing year. Not just disappointing in terms of Mitt Romney's loss. They ended up not winning a bunch of Senate races they thought they had a good shot at that were being held in traditionally red states. They kept the House majority, but they did not, certainly didn't build upon it. And I think they were left frustrated by this. Well, the final Real Clear Politics average in the generic congressional vote in 2012 was Republicans by 0.2 percentage point. So you can probably look at that and say, okay, you know, if it's close, then it's going to be status quo, right? If it's a big, you know, nice advantage for Republicans, it'll be good. If it's a nice advantage for Democrats, it'll be good for Democrats. When I start seeing numbers like a Democrats plus 10, Democrats plus 6, all of a sudden, it may become, you know, there's reason for Paul Ryan and other House Republicans to sweat that there's going to be a little fewer of them starting in January than there are right now. Now, is it going to be enough to completely overcome the House Republican majority? Tough to tell. If it's close, if it's Democrats by 10, then they're in trouble. If there's you know, Democrats by 6, maybe not. I think it's just one more indicator that things that seemed safe look a lot less safe now than they did a couple weeks ago. And obviously we're seeing a vicious Republican civil war. Trump spent a good portion of yesterday, you know, denouncing people who are not loyal to him, and denouncing John McCain, and denouncing Paul Ryan. Well, look, you know, this House Republican majority looked pretty safe until recently, and now it doesn't. And I don't think it's because all the members of Congress have suddenly changed their positions or stances or anything. I think it's the how Republicans do down ballot is going to have a great deal to do with how Trump does. And it also has a great deal to do with whether the Trump campaign wants its supporters to vote for Republicans down ballot. And right now, the Trump campaign is kind of iffy about that. So this is about as bad as it gets, Republicans.
Oh, man. If you're going to lose a lot of sleep, make it over politics. Make it over something other than your mattress. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups, but Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. In fact, Time Magazine named Casper one of the best inventions of 2015. It's an award-winning mattress that will not disappoint.
Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin-size mattress, $600 for a twin extra large, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and just $950 for a king-size mattress.
And a ton of technology has gone into this. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature through the night, so no more sweating.
Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. Now, call me crazy. I think by night 98 or night 99, you know whether you like it or not. You have a pretty good sense of whether it satisfies you and gives you a good night's sleep. If you don't love it, Casper Mattress will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend one-third of your life on it.
And best of all, they're made right here in America. Casper mattresses are American-made. So get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your coupon code. And we thank Casper for sponsoring the Three Martini Lunch podcast. And Jim, as Republicans lose sleep over what's happening potentially down ballot, in addition to the presidential race, of course, there's a new twist on the presidential level, at least in one state. We haven't even talked about Evan McMullen that much because he's barely been a blip, if that, in the polls since announcing as an independent Republican candidate a couple of months back. But in his home state of Utah, he's actually gaining some traction. In fact, there is a new Y2 analytics survey out showing that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are tied at 26% in Utah, McMullen now at 22%, and Libertarian Gary Johnson at 14% if the election were to be held today. So, Jim, obviously this is one state. It's one state that is basically a given in the Republican column. So it's weird to even see a Democrat in contention there. But if McMullen can actually win there, it would potentially add a crazy new dynamic to this race because obviously we don't have enough of those already.
Well, so let's get the obvious joke out of the way, Greg. So, you know, Evan McMullen named his running mate. It is Mindy Finn, a Republican consultant from Virginia. His name is McMuh. Her name is Finn. Put them together, you have McMuffin, quite literally. This is a really big deal in that up until now, he'd been, you know, 1% here, 2% there. Utah is his home state. You'd figure he'd be doing pretty well. Mormons out there obviously have a pretty strong objection to the style and tone of Trump, and that they basically have, you know, a lot of the lawmakers out there were among those who jumped off the bandwagon and said, I cannot support him. After the tapes that came out this weekend. So maybe the stage is set for McMullen to go out there and do something that has not happened since, I want to say, 1968. I could be wrong. A third-party candidate actually winning a race. Ross Perot got 19% of the vote in 1992. He got about 9% in 1996, but he did not win a state. Now, he still trails Trump and Hillary, but they're at 4%. There's a margin of error there. You'd have to say that, you know, looks like we're jumping up to 22% looks pretty good for him. I don't know about you, Greg. Utah does just not seem like the most natural state for Gary Johnson. We'll see how that shakes out.
No, it doesn't.
So, you know, if he happens to win one, then all of a sudden people, the strategy is for the McMullen camp is they want nobody to get 270 electoral votes, which is possible. Not necessarily easy. Right now you'd have to say Hillary Clinton is a safe bet to reach that. But, you know, stranger things have happened. So if Hillary doesn't get 270, Trump doesn't get 270, and he gets the 6, I believe, that Utah has, then the election goes to the House of Representatives, and each state gets one vote that is determined by the vote amongst their members of the House in Congress. By the way, it's the ones who are elected, not the ones who are outgoing. The House changes on January 3rd. So those folks get to vote, and conceivably, Republicans would have more House majorities, although, as we said, talked about in that second martini, maybe it's not such a safe bet as it looked like a little while ago. And then they'd have a choice of who do they want to vote for. And all of a sudden, Evan McMullen, by having those 6 electoral votes, will have finished third and will be a legitimate option for the House under the Constitution. Does this mean a Evan McMullen presidency is likely? No. But at least now, Winning a state is now kind of expands the likelihood there, and at least gets into that next stage. And if you thought the Florida recount was exciting, you know, Greg, could you imagine a House vote determining the next president of the United States? And one of the serious options is this guy, Evan McMullen, who, you know, won one state and probably got 2-4% of the vote if he's lucky.
I think I would prefer that process to the Florida recount, actually, because I think it would take less time and involve less time in court. I'm just picturing the GOP bloodbath between a guy who won one state and a guy who won however many 20-summer.
Yeah, 20-some, yeah. This would be, I mean, like, you know, it would be a great constitutional law class and kind of a little moment for the entire country. Hey, this is why we pay attention to what's going on in the Constitution. This is why we pay attention to these third-party candidates. It would be a testament to third-party candidates, and kind of a capstone to the wackiness of the year. But all this assumes Hillary doesn't reach 270 votes, and that, for, you know, both for Evan McMullen and for Donald Trump, is job one right now. And we'll see how it shakes out. But just one more crazy potential turn to what's been a crazy political year.
Yeah, as you said, it's definitely a long shot. But what else could we expect? In 2016, I don't think we'd actually be that shocked after everything we've been through this year.
President Evan McMullen, the vice president will be selected by the Senate. So it's not crazy, you know, it's within the realm of possibility. You could have President Evan McMullen and Vice President Tim Kaine.
Or Mike Pence, who knows?
Does it feel like fantasy football, where you're randomly throwing names together?
Oh, so much fun. I remember this is back in 2000. They thought it might end up being Bush and Lieberman on those very same reasons.
There you go. That was going to require Nader to win. It would require either a 269-269 tie or Ralph Nader to win a state. And, you know, we saw how that turned out.
Yes, exactly. Turned into a Bush presidency. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And thanks again to Casper Mattresses for sponsoring the 3-Martini Lunch today. And remember that you can get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your coupon code. And tune in again Thursday for the next 3-Martini Lunch.